Welcome to each of you to our service today on our celebration of the Reformation of the Church by the grace of God through his servant Martin Luther 500 years ago. A couple things to mention in the service today. We'll be having Holy Communion celebrated after the sermon. To our guests who are seeking an altar at which to commune, we believe that those who partake of the Lord's Supper together are giving expression to the close-knit bond of fellowship God has created among them in all that the Bible teaches. For this reason, we ask only those who publicly profess such oneness of faith and belief with us by membership here or at another CLC church to come forward to receive the sacrament. This is not a judgment on anyone's faith or standing before God, but an expression of our own faith. And if you have a desire to commune at St. Paul in the future, please speak with the pastor about that at your convenience. We'd love to have you. One other announcement regarding the hymns, and that is the hymn 396 hymn that you see on the hymn board towards the end, which will be sung right after the sermon, is printed on your insert in your worship bulletin. Let us begin our service with prayer. The order of worship is found printed in your worship bulletin exclusively this morning. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude in our hearts for the work you enabled your servant Martin Luther to accomplish. Through him, your chosen vessel, you brought into clearer focus the unique authority of your word and the comforting gospel message of salvation by grace through faith alone. Assist us to cherish the great spiritual heritage you've given us. Empower us daily to live with faith in Jesus and in submission to your holy will. Bless us now as we join our hearts in worship of you on this Reformation Festival Day. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Sure.
invite you to rise. Welcome once again to our special Reformation celebration service this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join in the confession of sins and hear the words of the Lord's forgiveness. O Lord Jesus Christ, you came into this world to call sinners to repentance and to bring the light of the gospel to all. We are not worthy of the least of your mercies, yet throughout history you have sent faithful servants who have used your word to enlighten and guide your church. Over the centuries, you have affirmed the gracious truth that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone and not by our own works. Graciously forgive, therefore, all that we have done wrong against you and your holy word. Protect us and your whole Christian church on earth from all error and unbelief. Cleanse and reform our sinful hearts daily. By your Holy Spirit, keep us steadfast in faith until we are called to our heavenly home. Amen. Upon this, your confession, and by the promise and the authority of Christ our Savior, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remain standing for the singing of the first two stanzas of A Mighty Fortress, hymn 656.
A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now or taken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe, deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. For us fights the valiant one, God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, who made the light to shine out of darkness, we thank you that you have shown mercy unto us and our fathers, and by means of your servant Luther has restored the pure light of your gospel. We beseech you, keep us in sound doctrine, that we may steadfastly believe and faithfully follow your saving word, and finally, by its holy comfort, depart in peace and joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Children may now come forward for the singing of their song, and note that the congregation will join in singing the last two stanzas of the song, Amazing Grace.
Amen.
that passed him, Amazing Grace, of course, was presented one of the three platforms of Bible-based Christianity, grace alone, amazing grace, grace in Christ, in the first Bible reading from Habakkuk, a prophet who lived several hundred years, quite a number of hundred years before Christ. We see presented already in the Old Testament the second plank of Bible-based Lutheranism, Christianity, and that is faith alone, which the Lord gives us by the power of God, through the power of His Word, through the Holy Spirit. We read in Habakkuk 2, 1 to 4, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So far the first lesson. Join now in the hymn by the choir, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. Choir members may come forward. Our next scripture reading on this Reformation Sunday is a story from the New Testament, from the ministry of Jesus, in which an individual demonstrated and showed by God's grace a very strong faith in Jesus as his Savior, the same faith the Lord works in the hearts of his children through the Word of God today. We read this story in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearings of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So far the scripture reading. You may remain sitting for our confession of faith this morning. I'll share with you some excerpts from one of our Bible-based Lutheran confessions, the Formula of Concord, Article 3, and then we'll join together for the confession of the explanation of Luther to the third article, the Apostles' Creed on the work of God, the Holy Spirit. It is unanimously confessed in our churches in accordance with God's Word, and the meaning of the Augsburg Confession that we poor sinners are justified before God and saved alone through faith in Christ. Christ alone is our righteousness. God forgives our sins out of pure grace without any work, merit, or worthiness of ours. He presents and credits to us the righteousness of Christ's obedience. Though many weaknesses and defects cling to true believers until they die, still, we must not on that account doubt either our righteousness, which has been credited to us through faith, or the salvation of our souls. We may regard it as certain that for Christ's sake, according to the promise and immovable word of the Holy Gospel, we have a gracious God. Faith alone is the means and instrument through which we lay hold of Christ and that righteousness that benefits us before God. This faith is God's gift, by which we truly learn to know Christ our Redeemer in the word of the gospel. We believe that the repentance that comes before justification and the good works that follow it do not belong to the article of justification before God. After a person has been justified through faith, then a true living faith works by love. Good works always follow justifying faith and are surely found with it, if it is true and a living faith. Faith is never alone, but always has love and hope with it. You join? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. join in singing the last four stanzas of hymn 556.
To me he said, stay close to me. I am your rock and castle, your ransom I myself will be. For you I strive and wrestle. Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving, all this I suffer for your good. Be steadfast and believing. Life will from death the victory win. My innocence shall bear your sin. You are blessed forever. Now to my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you, and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. This final word I leave you. Amen.
Please rise for our sermon text. Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is yours. Amen. Greetings from all the saints at Prince of Peace in Loveland, Colorado, many of whom are here today, and from those who could not make it. The word of God that I would lay upon your hearts this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So far, God's holy word. Please be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever been told to have faith? Just have faith. Maybe it was said lightheartedly, as you had faith in the recommendation of a friend on a particular movie or product or something else that didn't seem as though it was going to pan out for you. But they said, have faith, hold on, it'll get better. Perhaps it was said semi-seriously, as you watched your favorite sports team need a comeback win in the fourth quarter or last inning. Have faith. Have faith they can do it this time. Perhaps it was said wholeheartedly, as you had faith that God would work things out for the best. All of these situations, including the one where you have faith that God is going to work things out for the best, treat faith as if it's something you are in charge of. And make no mistake, the Bible certainly talks about faith in two unique and separate ways. On the one hand, it talks about a saving faith. That's the faith we'll be discussing mostly this morning. And that other hand is this have faith. Do something yourself to have trust in, to believe in more. It's something that you can let grow or shrink based on how trustworthy someone else's recommendations or your sports team has proven in the past. Sadly, some Christians today consider their saving faith a measure of how strongly they believe in their Savior. True saving faith is not something you can grow. True saving faith is already at full growth the moment it takes seed in your heart. True saving faith is not something you create. It's not some measure of your trust in God's faithfulness. True saving faith is not your own to grow or shrink. Instead, that saving faith that God gives you, it's a gift that he gives to you and lends you until it is fulfilled in Christ. This morning, we can all praise God for letting us say, I have a faith that is not my own. Not my own decision, creation, and yet it is made my own. Now, human beings typically are pretty good at making decisions, aren't we? You had to make multiple decisions just to get here today. You had to decide on your clothes, which way to take. Is traffic going to be worse on this road or that road? Or maybe I'll just follow the voice that comes out of my phone. You still made that decision. But though we're pretty good at making decisions, we're not always so good at following through on them, aren't you? I made the decision, I'm going to follow the voice that comes out of my phone to get here this morning, and I shouldn't have. It was a bad decision to make. I got led down some extra roads and took a few more minutes to get here. Perhaps you can think of those decisions you've made to improve your life in one way or another. Usually they're called New Year's resolutions. They're easy to make, those decisions are, but they're so hard to follow through on. So where would your faith be if it was dependent on you following through on that decision to have faith? Have you had faith during all the troubling times of your life? When your conscience weighs on you, or when situations that appear completely out of your control, or indeed are completely out of your control, is it all dependent on the decision of your faith? If it was, your faith would be this constant wavering back and forth that sometimes popped into existence and other times totally disappeared. How terrible and terrifying if faith was really based off of your own decision. Thankfully, it's not based on your decision to follow Christ. Ephesians 2:8 tells us what your faith is based on. It says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That passage there, there's an important pronoun, that. And that doesn't refer back to grace. Grace is certainly not your own. It was God's grace that saved you. But the that in that verse refers back to faith. Listen one more time. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that faith that I just talked about, that's not of yourselves. You didn't have faith. You didn't struggle to believe. It was a gift. It is the gift of God. Your faith is based on God's gift, and God is not one to give something and then take it away when it's most needed. God does not give you a faith that is weak or cannot withstand the pressures of this world. As I said, he gives you a faith that is already fully formed and can withstand the pressures of this world. He gives you that faith, and through that gift, he gives righteousness. Now, those who choose to become Christians are placing their faith not in Christ, but rather in their own decision. Have you met someone like that in your life who said, I chose Christ. I made a decision for him. That is not at all what happened to Martin Luther many years ago. It's not at all what happens to us as we read the word and receive the means of grace through the word and sacrament. Because if you're choosing to become a Christian and you're basing your belief on your own decision, what happens if that decision wavers? What happens when your trust is not enough? Well, that person wouldn't have faith anymore. Now, what about you? What happens when your trust wavers? Have you had those times in your life? I know I've certainly had them in mine, and I know you've certainly had them in yours as well. Perhaps you haven't lost faith completely, but it's been weakened. Your faith, the gift of God, though, it's not affected by the weakness of your faith. It's not affected by your doubt and your strength or lack of it. In fact, your weakness, because God knew that you would need help on the path to heaven, indeed need to be carried the whole way, well, that's the reason he gave you faith in the first place. So that when you are weak, that when you doubt and you struggle, you go back to what verse 9 says. It's that the righteousness which is from God by faith, you still have it. Because you're not righteous only if you have faith. If you have enough of it, if you can be strong enough, you are righteous because that faith was given to you, and through that faith, then the righteousness of Christ our Savior. You see, anyone who makes you or who asks you to make a decision for Christ that tells you today's the day, dedicate your life to him, well, they're robbing God of his power. Because God has power to grant life, both physical and spiritual. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, God says, "Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive." Our earthly lives are in his hands. And the same is true of our spiritual lives as well. From Colossians chapter 2, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." You were buried, but because of that faith, you were raised to the life you are living right now, a spiritual life with Christ. God has that power to grant that righteousness from himself through his gift of faith. So what wonderful news it is that salvation is not dependent on your decision for Christ or your decision to follow Christ or to turn your life around and rededicate it to him. No, God grants this faith not through something you do, but through something he does. God grants salvation through infant baptism when he says that baptism now saves us. God grants salvation through his body and blood in communion. Not our actions or our deeds of receiving it, but his actions of giving up his body and blood for our salvation. This is how God grants salvation through the hearing of his word, because he works through these words, which he promises in Isaiah, will not return to him void. Your faith is not your own decision. And what your faith believes is not your own creation either. Human beings are pretty good at creating stuff, and with Christmas just around the corner, I'm sure that underneath many trees, you'll find the gift of Legos. It doesn't matter whether it's for children or for adults, Legos have a tendency to interest just about every age group. And they're fun, aren't they? Because Legos let you create. If you buy the nice expensive Lego set, you can create a replica of just about anything or any popular movie or popular activity. You can buy Lego sets of all the latest action figures. You can buy Lego sets of campers and RVs and tents, and you name it, there's probably a Lego set out there for it. They let you create all those cool things. And once you have enough sets, then you can mix them all together and create something entirely new of your own. We're very good at creating things. It's natural to like to create, whether it's creating with Legos, or maybe you like to create in a garden, or a family heirloom quilt. Perhaps you like to add all the modifications to weapons to make it your own, unique, one of a kind. We like to create. Creation is built into us to such an extent that many people end up creating their own faith. And you can see the effects of that and how it works out for people when we look at different faiths in the history of the world. Created faiths 3,000 years ago sacrificed their children to Moloch. It was a creation that didn't end well. Today, too, created faiths in convenience and personal choice sacrifice children as well. Created faiths let us earn our way into God's good favor through personal sacrifice, whether that sacrifice is to Zeus, a long time ago, or to Allah today. Created faiths let us hide from guilt and shame. Created faiths teach acceptance without repentance, and oneness in the universe without the one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. You see, the problem with created faith is that they're quite a bit less useful than Legos. Legos can serve a good purpose. They can entertain, they can relax, they can expand your brain as you create something totally new. Created faiths can certainly entertain. There's no doubt about it. They can relax guilt by forgiving sins that aren't really forgiven. They can expand your brain, but ultimately, any created faith is going to lead away from the faith that is true. They steer away from the faith which God sets forth as the only truth. Paul knew this very well. He had a created faith that he trusted in before Christ met him on the road to Damascus. And he followed that created faith very well. He followed the Old Testament law to such an extent that he could brag about it if he really wanted to. A few verses earlier than our text, he says that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, these things that I had created before, and the Jewish leaders had created before my time, I did them all perfectly. I was blameless in them. Paul knew the temptation to create a faith. He had fallen for it himself. But Christ pulled him out, and so now Paul says, in verses 7 and 8, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul knew the value of what he had done as a Pharisee. It was worthless. In fact, it was worse than having zero value. It actually harmed him. Living that perfect life was not good for him because it caused him to place his trust in his own created faith instead of in his Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, people try to create the Christian faith as well. They will change the justice of God by having there be different gods. A God of the Old Testament who now has grown more merciful and loving in our New Testament era. They'll change the faith we believe in by lightening the load of sin and saying, well, that's not a sin, and perhaps that was a sin back then, but it's no longer anymore. As we've grown as a human race, we can see that those sins preached in the Old Testament are not applicable today. How terrible. How terrible to change this faith that God has given us for our preservation and learning. They broaden the path to heaven with paths besides Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You and I don't set the rules of our faith. It's not ours to create and change as we see fit. And thanks be to God for that. For those things are rubbish since we have Christ. And if we did try to change the rules of our faith, we would end up like Paul's old treasures, the things he used to value in life, but now were not good for him any longer. So this faith that you can be thankful for, it's not your own decision or creation. Here's the most wonderful part. It might not be your own, but it is made your own through the power of the Holy Spirit. You get to lay hold of a faith that supports you in your worst times. The faith that you have been given is not some weak or sinking object that you have to support. It's not something that you have to try to hold up and lift onto as if it was all dependent on you. Christ saved you, but now it's up to you to finish the race. That's not it at all. Christ saved you and has saved you on the cross and continues to support you through the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts. The faith you have been given is strong. It holds you up when your trust wavers. The faith you have been given is almost like a life preserver that God gives you as the welcome gift into his family. Out before Christ, you were lost in the depths of this world. But Christ picked you up out of those deep waters, and he set you on the ship of himself, the ship of his grace sailing toward heaven. And he hands you this life preserver, buckling it on you, and says, don't jump off the boat. Don't jump away from my grace and leave. But then suddenly in our lives, a sin can entice us, And instead of staying on the boat of Christ's grace, we jump into the deep waters again, chasing that sin or that pleasure that we just don't think we can find with Christ any longer. But what does faith do? It's that life preserver that's buckled on. It keeps you afloat while Christ reaches out and pulls you back in. Sometimes, roughly, through the harsh words of his law, condemning the sin that caused you to leave the boat at all, but he pulls you back nonetheless. He says, I laid hold of you for this purpose, and I'm not going to let go. I won't let you get away. What about when those worries of life crash up over the deck of Christ's grace, and they wash you into the waters again? Well, there's faith, that life preserver, strapped on, that is holding you up when on your own you'd go sinking to the bottom just again. There's a doubt that makes you wonder if Christ really grabbed you at all. And so you watch the boat of Christ's grace sail away. Well, the life preserver of faith keeps you afloat as Christ pulls you back in. And you get to experience that faith as Christ lets you know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You get to be swept along by his power when your power is too weak. You get to know the fellowship that he shares with his church, a fellowship that we get to share this morning as we commune with Christ by partaking of his body and blood, and indeed in joining our prayers and hymns of praise together to our Savior. Finally, one day you'll get to be conformed to his death, because his death was like no other death ever recorded. A death where someone died and was raised again by the power of God to eternal life, never to die again. That's what Paul is writing about when he says that we will be conformed to his death. And if you haven't experienced all of these things, if every time you join in song or praise or prayer or communion, you don't get overwhelmed by that feeling that faith can sometimes provide, do not worry about it. Do not worry that your faith isn't sincere, for it's not your own to begin with. It is a gift that God will one day fulfill with the gift of life. So, dear Christian friends, have faith, not on some level of self-grown trust in God, because you can never trust him enough. Have faith. Have a slice of it, like you're taking a slice of wonderful dessert. The best that's there. God's here giving it to you right now through his word and sacrament. Have faith. I know you have it. He gives it through the word that we just read and the sacrament we are about to receive. You can't wear this faith out. You can't use it up. This faith, Luther describes as not the human notion and dream that some people call faith, by which their own powers, they create an idea in their heart which says, I believe. They take this then to be a true faith, but it is a figment of human imagination, an idea that never reaches the depths of the heart. Faith, however, is a divine work in us, which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different men in heart and spirit and mind and powers. And it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work with which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. You have this faith that Martin Luther just described, and it's greater than any amount of faith or trust you could ever personally have. It's a gift he's placed in your heart. It's a faith that's not your own decision, creation, but is made your own by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this point in our service, we'll continue with our sermon hymn. It's printed on the bulletin insert. It looks like this.
invite you to rise for prayer. In addition to the sermon prayer this morning, we want to offer a special petition. Prayers of the congregation are requested a prayer of comfort for the family and friends of Cindy Garvin, daughter of Judy Garvin, who was called out of this life last Monday, and also for Evelyn Carlisle. Family and friends of Evelyn was a member of our sister CLC Church in Phoenix, Holy Cross, and whom the Lord called out to himself yesterday morning. She was a friend of a number of the members of Redeemer in Cheyenne. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we remember in our prayers the family and friends of Cindy Garvin and Evelyn Carlisle, who have been taken from them by death. We ask that you would lend them your comfort in their loss and console them with the assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. May these deaths remind us all of how quickly life on earth comes to an end. Lead us to use the days you've given to us to grow in our knowledge of you and in faithfulness to your holy word. When you summon us, may we be found in true repentance and steadfast faith, prepared to stand before your judgment seat through the merits and righteousness of Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, your word is able to make us wise to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Without the gospel message of your forgiveness through Christ, we would still be lost in unbelief and sin and doomed to everlasting damnation. But a precious treasure is your word, the blessed gospel of Christ. And yet for centuries, this treasure was all but lost from mankind through the evil devices of Satan. With great guile, he diverted men's minds from the truth, convincing them that they must trust in their own works for eternal life. Lord, we praise you for your loving kindness that brought about the Reformation and uncovered once again the gospel treasure hidden so long from the minds and hearts of men. Because you intervened in history by guiding the reformers to Holy Scripture, sinners throughout every age can learn of their Savior Jesus and in believing are declared righteous in God's sight. We're especially thankful for your Holy Spirit has removed spiritual blindness and self-righteousness from our hearts and led us to place our trust in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As children of the Reformation, yes, as your own children through faith in Christ, may we never depart from the rich heritage of your word. Keep us faithful to the truth that Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us on the cross. Allow nothing that we believe, teach, defend, say, or do be contrary to your precious word. May we be ready to make all sacrifices necessary for the preservation and promotion of your saving truth in our midst. Give us courage to endure any hardships in our zeal to faithfully witness our Savior before the world. Give a double measure of the Spirit to the pastors and teachers of your church that they may be kept from false doctrine. Inspire fathers and mothers to teach the pure word to their children and to set them a good example of loving obedience to all you command. May your saving word, as taught at church and at home, powerfully work in our hearts a solid growth in knowledge and faith. With your word of truth, raise the fallen, reclaim the erring, restore confidence to the doubting, and comfort the troubled. Forgive us wherever we've transgressed, and by your Holy Spirit enable us to serve you in faithful obedience to your word all our days. We pray it all in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom alone we stand righteous in your sight. You may be seated. Continue now with the service of Holy Communion towards the bottom of page 4 of your worship bulletin.
May the good Lord be with you.
And with you, his servant too.
Lift your hearts to God in praise.
To the Lord our hearts be raised.
Let us offer praises true. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, in blessing his saints of the past, has given us glorious assurance and hope that, following their example of faith, we may run with perseverance the race marked out for us and receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." We now join in singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, hear your faithful children's prayer. Your name divine and dear be hallowed everywhere. Your kingdom come, your heavenly will among us still on earth be done. The bread for which we earn each day, as in turn our debtors we forgive. Your people lead in trials are from Satan's power. Let us be freed. For you, O Lord, our King, all power is yours. Your glory now we sing, the glory yours alone. So shall it be, your kingdom, might and glory bright, eternally.
And our communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Please rise. We conclude our service with the singing of the Thanksgiving, top of page 6, and then the benediction and closing hymn.
With heart. hands and voices. Oh, wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices. Let all who seek the Lord his faithfulness proclaim. He leads them forth in joy, who proudly bear his name. Lord, let your servant go with peace and exaltation. For my own eyes have seen your manifest salvation. Light for the darkened world, and Israel's glory true. To Father, Spirit, Son, be praises ever due.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Oh, Dad. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for. Upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit, and take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been